from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Ah, yes. They are dancing down in West Virginia.
What a song.
You know what they say, it takes 2 to waltz.
Is that what?
They do say that. I have heard that.
The Greenbrier Waltz.
You can't do 3 or 4?
2.
Well, that's...
Like, what do you think the Chagrin Falls
waltz? That's the Chagrin Shuffle. That's not the Greenbrier Waltz.
Danny, welcome to the show. Danny Cunningham in for Ken Carman today. Kenny will return on Monday. I heard Kenny is just champing at the bit.
Is he with an A?
Yes.
Not chomping.
He champing. Is champing to get back here.
Can you explain the difference?
And it dates back to the early Roman days. We'll go over that another time, maybe during the podcast next week. But we did get the news. We have a play caller, and it is Kevin Stefanski. He is maintaining the reins over that offense, of which, now this is where it gets interesting, because we are getting X Reaction social media brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Kevin Schumann says, complete dysfunction of the organization continues. No team at any level has an OC install an offense and somebody else call the plays. People need to remember this is all due to Kevin Stefanski letting his ego and pride get in the way. Your thoughts, Danny?
He's the best option to call plays. I don't think it's close. I think he's been a fantastic play caller since he's been in Cleveland. I do not understand the thinking that that's not true. I don't get it. When we had Elton from East Cleveland on, I don't understand that thing. That comes across to me as if fans just want to be mad about something, and that's what they can be mad about. Well, I would love to know, for the people that don't want him to be play caller, what do you want him to do? You say you want him to be the head coach of the football team. What does that entail other than he's doing the thing he's best at?
But that's where the narrative has changed over the now going into his 5th season as the Browns head coach, right? Forever it was he's stuck behind the Waffle House menu while Joe Woods is letting the defense get ran all over. And, you know, miscommunications in the secondary, and why doesn't the head coach step up and take control over that? And then they fixed that last year by bringing in Jim Schwartz, and save for, you know, 1 or 2 games, and one of those being the playoff game, the defense was outstanding, right? So it seems like people are still just taking that argument from 3 years ago or 2 years ago that the head coach needs to be more involved in things that aren't the offense, and using that now as why he should not be calling plays when, you know, last year they did a pretty good job calling plays on offense and on defense, minus 1 or 2, you know, hiccups.
And I think Stefanski was the more consistent of the play callers last year, because you look at that defense under Jim Schwartz was awesome and had some pretty incredible highs, right? Like, we think about that game against the Cardinals where they just looked historically dominant. They had some awesome moments, but they also had some pretty low valleys. They also had some pretty bad moments.
Clayton helped with that one.
Leave Clayton out of this. Come on.
Particularly away from Cleveland Brown Stadium. Like, on the road, that defense was nowhere near what it was at home. Kevin Stefanski's offense, I thought, was the much more consistent unit last year. I don't understand.
Which is staggering to think about, considering
how much change they had, especially at the quarterback position. They didn't have Nick Chubb for the vast majority of the season. So that, to me, was much more impressive.
Yeah, that is abnormal. And I get it. If you went into last season saying, I'm so done with Stefanski, I want this offense to be rejuvenated, we're not getting the most out of Deshaun Watson, I understand that you probably came into last year a little biased. And so you remember things like the caller did with the San Francisco game, which is when I went down. I had a meltdown last year on the Monday following that game that our first caller of the day was like, Stefanski's got to go. And I'm like, you don't understand. Like, they're writing columns. Like, Peter King wrote an entire column. Albert Breer wrote an entire column on Monday on how the Browns' win was the most impressive of anything maybe any team has done all year.
At that point, San Francisco had not lost a game. They were playing. They were the best team in football when they came to Cleveland Browns Stadium. And, yeah, Jake Moody missed a very makeable field goal that would have won that game at the buzzer.
My jaw was on the ground at the end of that game. Yeah. We just beat them?
Yes, I could not believe it. I went to that game. And my thinking was the Browns are going to get wrecked because they're playing P.J. Walker against the best team in football.
Wrecked.
That's what I thought. It was going to rain. I'm like, you know what? I'll probably just leave at halftime. I'll walk home. It'll be fine. They won that game. Could not believe it. Still can't.
Honestly, that is the game where I think Stefanski, and with me, I'm stubborn. It takes some time. I think that's the game where I really started to change my view on Kevin, and then just to see everything they battled through. And I mean, what he did in 2020 in the COVID year was pretty damn impressive too, understanding how the Browns, I think, were just smarter than other teams and how they dealt with preparation. But last year, that really was significant in my estimation, and I'm not the only one, and you're not the only one.
No.
And when Ken is back here on Monday, he's not the only one. Listen to Albert Breer talk about the strength of Kevin Stefanski and the way he calls plays.
Yeah, I think Kevin's a really good play caller. You know, and I think the job they did last year was proof of it. But being able to win with different quarterbacks and morph the offense to what their quarterback was bringing to the table at that time. You know, obviously.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Built a strong running game there and everything else. Yeah, I'd say like Kevin Stefanski is near the top of the league when it comes to offensive play callers.
That was Albert Breer yesterday on Afternoon Drive. You can hear him weekly on Thursdays at, I believe, 5:20. But he was terrific breaking it down. But yet, we have people dissenting. Here is Rob in Medina. Welcome to the show. How are you, Rob?
What's happening, guys?
What's going on?
So I don't think he's a bad play caller. I just don't think that that's his job. You know, when the offense is off the field, I want the play caller with the offense. Like, hey, what's going on? You know, what could we do different? Where he's got to be watching the defense. The head coach is ahead of everything. And when you're the play caller, you know, you got to keep your stuff together for the play calls. You know, you got to be thinking, what am I doing next series? What am I doing? You know, he could always have his headphones on and trump Dorsey's call, you know, or give him, hey, what if we do this? But I just think his head needs to be in the whole game instead of just the
offense. Rob, let me just ask you, are you consistent with this throughout football, or do you think certain coaches have to earn it? Like, you wouldn't say that about Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, right?
No, I mean, some people can do it, and it all depends on their supporting cast, too. You know, there's been times where Stefanski's had to, you know, interject with the defense. You know, I just think the head coach shouldn't. I mean, are there exceptions that do it well? Yes. And again, I don't think Stefanski's a bad play caller. I just don't think, you know, it's his job. You know, get a game plan together, and essentially they're going to be calling the same plays anyways. So, I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I get what you're saying, but I think he's very much an exception, too, because he's done nothing but do a really good job of doing this.
There's been times it's been
You watched every Niners game, you can pick out plays that Kyle Shanahan makes bad play calls. You can say the same thing with Andy Reid in Kansas City, the same thing with Sean McVay in Los Angeles. It happens to every single play caller of every single football team at every single level. There's not a perfect play caller in the football world.
No, no, absolutely. And I would have none of them doing it. Kyle Shanahan is awesome at it too, but I would not have him calling plays either, or Andy Reid, or any of them.
I mean, if you're consistent with those guys, I can't push back on that.
Thank you, Rob.
I disagree with it.
I'm gonna. I think three Super Bowls the Chiefs.
Right.
Like, yeah, but he's probably assuming it'd be more.
But at least if you're gonna be consistent, I can't be mad at you. If you say, you know, Kevin Stefanski shouldn't be calling plays in Cleveland, but neither should Andy Reid in Kansas City, I cannot pick apart that argument as much. I don't agree with it, but at least you're consistent.
What kind of dynamic does it make when you have an OC calling plays, right? So say Ken Dorsey's calling the plays, and once a game, once every time the big play happens, Kevin Stefanski goes, nah, Ken, I think we're going to do this one here.
Right.
What does that lead to? If every time we're going to break and Anthony's going, hey, we're going to wrap it up here. And I go, no, Anthony, let's do another minute, right? Like, what kind of inconsistency does that lead to as a sort of dissection between the offense and the staff?
Well, what kind of culture does that create on your staff? A poor one. Because let's say, for the sake of this argument, Owen, that Ken Dorsey would be the play caller and Kevin Stefanski trumps him when it matters most. You're not actually letting Ken Dorsey do his job then, because you hired him, and obviously this is in some alternate reality. You hired him to call plays. And you're not letting him do his job if you only let him call the plays that don't matter the most. And that, I think, creates a bad environment in the coaching staff that bleeds into the rest of the team.
No, I get that. I get that for sure. I do wonder, like, first thing on Ken Dorsey's side of things, how do you think he feels today? I mean, I imagine him coming here and them leaving the door open for him to potentially be the play caller. I mean, unless you believe he was just told very early on he had no shot. I just can't imagine that.
I don't.
Because it's his offense, right? Isn't he bringing?
Do we know that, or is he here to supplement Kevin Stefanski's offense?
So that's what I wonder. We have all been under the impression that he is bringing over his offense from Buffalo. Is that not the case? Have we been misled? Is that false information that's just been kind of simmering behind the scenes?
I would expect there to be some subtle changes to what the Browns have done offensively, maybe incorporating some things that were done in Buffalo with Ken Dorsey. But I think if they were bringing over his offense, he would be calling plays, and it would have been clear from day one that that was the case. If it were Ken Dorsey's offense, Ken Dorsey would be calling plays. But I don't think that it is.
So you think maybe that this is the wrinkle here in all this conversation. Like, maybe we have had the wrong conversations to begin with.
It sounds like
we have assumed, like, oh, we're going to bring this Josh Allen offense in because it's more of a Deshaun Watson offense from what he was doing in Houston, some of the stuff from his college days. I mean, Deshaun Watson was on that podcast a few days ago that we played the audio where he said this is merging of the offenses. This is a merging of what Stefanski likes to do and what he likes to do for maybe his college days.
I'm super excited. I think everyone is super excited. I think it's going to get a little bit of, you know, a Kevin Stefanski and that NFL style, and then you're going to get a little Dorsey and that college style. And I think it's going to be a good mix of the skill set and the players that we have. Yeah, it's going to be very, very exciting, and I know that those guys want to be very explosive and want to score a lot of points and don't hold anything back, you know, until the game is officially over.
That was Deshaun Watson from FanSided and the Dogs Pod earlier this week. So, you know, we're hearing from the players about this a little bit. And I know when we come back, Amari Cooper weighed in on the new offense. A lot of moving parts here. And I think Danny raises an interesting question. Are we really getting a Ken Dorsey offense at all? 216-474-0092. I want to hear from fans how they feel about that question.
We're getting the super offense, remember? It's a mix of every good offense ever.
The beautiful hybrid of the top 10 offenses in NFL history.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.